Recently, and it's really been purely by coincidence, I've had several lessons that dealt with the words that we speak. First, the elders asked me to do a sermon on the topic of gossip. And then there was a question that was submitted or that was asked about confession and public confession of sin. And last week, we also had another sermon request and question. Maybe it wasn't last week, a couple weeks ago, where we dealt with the topic of blasphemy and what blasphemy was. And so I only thought it fitting that we complete the cycle, so to speak, and look at the idea or the topic of profanity this morning in our lesson. The saying or the idea that our actions speak louder than our words is definitely true, and I've used that expression many times. But what we also need to understand and be very careful of is the fact that our words can often speak louder than our actions as well. It's possible for me, by my words, to completely ruin my influence as a child of God. It's possible for me, by my words, to ruin a friendship that has taken years to grow and mature. The song that we just sang says, "Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar." Jesus described our speech as a window to our soul. In Matthew 12 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so we then, as children of God, need to be very careful about how and what we say with our mouth. James described it in the passage which was just read for us. He described the tongue as an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Let's think for a little while this morning about the topic of profanity. And think about how serious it is and how much damage it can do to our walk and influence as a Christian. First of all, we want to define some words. So let's think about, I have a definition, but actually we're going to look at several definitions this morning. First of all, profanity. Profanity is a noun, okay? And so we're talking, when we say profanity, you look it up, and it is blasphemous or obscene language. Now, we talked about what blasphemous meant a couple weeks ago when we studied the topic of blasphemy. Blasphemy simply means hurtful speech. Speech that hurts someone or something. And we talked about the fact you can blaspheme God and Jesus, you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can blaspheme His Word or His church. And all of those things are wrong. But profanity is blasphemous or obscene language. You look up the word obscene and the definition is this: offensive or disgusting by accepted standards of morality and decency. One more time. Offensive or disgusting by accepted standards of morality and decency. So then what we glean from this is that profanity is a type of language, whether we're talking about specific words or just the way that we're talking, that is offensive to somebody or that is disgusting in its own way. And that our society plays a part in defining what these specific words are by the accepted standards of morality and decency. So our society plays a part, and certainly the Word of God plays an even more important part in determining what is profanity. Well, let's look at the adjective form of profanity, and that is the word profane. The word profane means a person or behavior that is irreverent. A person or behavior that is irreverent, or to treat with irreverence or respect. Profane can also be a verb. To treat with irreverence or respect. And when we talk about someone or something that is irreverent, we're talking about showing a lack of respect for people or things that are generally to be taken seriously. Showing a lack of respect. And we need to understand that profanity, that offensive, disgusting language, usually comes from a profane person. A person who does not respect things that are to be respected. As Christians, we're to be reverent. We're to show a proper respect to God and for His Word. A Christian who continually uses profanity, this offensive, obscene, disgusting language, is doing so in contradiction to the Word of God. Therefore, he is showing a lack of respect for God Himself. And God is to be taken seriously. And so if you or I use profanity, use offensive language, disgusting language, we are profane. We are treating God and His Word as if it is unimportant in our lives. We're not showing the proper respect to God. Let's think now for a few moments about profanity and the Bible. What exactly does the Bible say about profanity, about the specific type of language that you and I are to use? And one question that often comes up, and one argument that people often will use to try to justify the use of curse words or cuss words, is the idea that the Bible does not give a list of bad words. Some feel that the only type of language then that the Bible really condemns is any type of language that profanes God's name or takes God's name in vain. And we're going to talk about that later on. It's true, the Bible doesn't give a list of detailed words that are considered profanity. And why is that? I think it's fairly obvious. Words come and go, for one thing. Some words are curse words today that weren't curse words many years ago. You grab an older version of the King James Bible and you will see words in there that today are considered profanity, but back in 1611, when the King James Version was originally written, those words were not considered to be profane. Remember, that's why when we looked at that definition of the word obscene, it said it has to do with accepted standards of morality and decency. So our society does play a part in determining what words are considered to be profane or obscene. But also we have to understand that not only do words come and go, and so the list will change over time, but also we have to understand that this hypothetical list then would need to be updated about every decade. Again, because the words and the meaning of the words, and sometimes the usage changes. And also, if the Bible were to give a detailed list of the words, not only would it have to be updated every decade or so, but also it would need to be in every language of the earth, wouldn't it? Because different languages are spoken and different words are considered to be profanity. So the Bible does not give us a specific list of words, but that does not give us license then to just speak any old way that we please and use, you know, every word that comes to mind, because the Bible does give us some definite principles to use in how we choose to speak and the words that we choose to use in expressing ourselves. First of all, the Bible talks about filthy language. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Paul wrote, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." The idea of filthiness or filthy language, nor foolish talking. Again, filthiness, you look up that word, it just means, that word in the original means obscenity. It means filthy talking. Thus, this is talking about language that is offensive. It is talking about language that is disgusting. It is talking about language that is irreverent. All three of those characteristics are included in the idea of filthy language. And also we could note Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And so the Bible says we're to avoid this filthy language. And the word filthy means obscene. And obscene, as we've seen, talks about offensive, disgusting, and irreverent. The Bible also alludes to lewd language, L-E-W-D, lewd language, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Here Peter says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." Peter, there warning about false teachers, says they speak great swelling words, and through the lust of the flesh and through lewdness, they were luring people away, causing them to fall. The word lewd means crude or offensive in a sexual way. Crude or offensive in a sexual way. And so this is a little more specific than just filthy language. Lewd language is filthy language that is sexual in nature. And so lewd language stirs up images in the mind of the one who is speaking and the mind of the one who is hearing of a sexual nature. That is lewd language. We're told that that is something that is used by sinful people. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 talks about corrupt language. Paul said, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Corrupt. Definition of that is literally rotten or putrid. Think about, you know, that milk that you get out of the refrigerator that has been in there for a month or whatever, and you open that up and you smell it, and it's just putrid, it's rotten, it's disgusting. It's like spoiled milk. Our words can be that type of, that described in that way, rotten or putrid. And so there are all these different terms, filthy language, lewd language, corrupt words that proceed out of our mouth. And so God does care about the words that come out of our mouth. And we need to be very aware and very careful of the things that we say. But there's another important note that I want to add into this that I want to make sure that we all understand. And that is this. One doesn't have to use cuss words in order for their language to be classified as filthy. Think about that. You don't have to use what society has defined as a cuss word for your language to be classified as filthy. It would be very possible for our language to be profane without using one single cuss word. We could use very clinical language, but talk about things and describe things that are disgusting and offensive, and then therefore we would be using profanity. So we have to be very careful not only about the word choice, but also the content of the things that we are choosing to talk about, because that is just as important. Another type of profanity that I want us to think about, which we already alluded to a few moments ago, not only are we talking about, you know, the filthy language, the gutter language that, you know, is putrid and corrupt and that is obscene and disgusting, but there's another type of profanity, and that is one can profane God's name. One can profane the name of God. Remember that to profane something is to treat it with irreverence and disrespect. So when we're talking about profaning the name of God, we are suggesting to you that it is possible for me to treat God's name in such a way that I am disrespecting it and showing irreverence to God Himself. It is to profane something is to take something that is holy and use it in a worldly way. The phrases, "Oh my God," or sometimes just "God," or "Jesus Christ," when used in an exclamatory capacity, we are profaning God's name when we use it in such a way. God's name is holy, and how dare I use it in such a flippant way as to curse or express displeasure or surprise? God has always demanded that mankind respect His name because His name is holy. We think back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. We have God there saying, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Obviously, we don't live under those Ten Commandments today, but it is still a sin to take God's name in vain, obviously. We can glean that from the New Testament scriptures. But this idea, this word vain here, using God's name in vain, in the original, when it's used as an adverb, which is what it is here, it's to use something, God's word name, in vain, it's always talking about being false. And so what this is referring to is specifically in Exodus 20 and verse 7 is using God's name in a falsehood. In other words, a person who is swearing on God's name and they're lying. That's specifically what Exodus 20 and verse 7, you know, a lot of times we apply this to, you know, using God's name in vain, as we just talked about, you know, saying God when somebody's upset. But really, Exodus 20 and verse 7 is dealing with using God's name and connecting it with a falsehood or with a lie. Leviticus 18 and 21 sort of deals more with what we usually think of when using God's name in vain. It's, "And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." By associating God's name with pagan worship, they were profaning His name. And again, to profane is the idea of treating with disrespect or irreverence. So, to use God's name in any irreverent way is to profane the name of God. And it is profanity and it is wrong. The Jews so respected God and His name that the scribes, when they would copy out the Old Testament scriptures, and they had so many rules that they had to follow, but two of the rules were that when they were about to write the name of God, Yahweh, they could not write that name with a freshly dipped pen, because if the pen was freshly dipped, then it was possible that the name of God might, you know, there might be a blot of ink, and that might smudge and you know, corrupt the writing of God's name. They also, when a scribe was writing and they were writing the name of God, the rule or the law was that they could not stop for any reason. They were not even to heed the voice of the king if the king called them while they were writing the name of God. They were to first finish writing that name. They so respected the name of God and did not profane it in using it in that way. Now, unfortunately, we understand that they profane God's name in through their actions in many different ways, and we can do that and need to guard against that as well. So another type of profanity is not only the crude and offensive language that deals with disgusting and obscene things, but also we can profane God's name and use it in an irreverent fashion. And that also is a wrong and sinful use of the tongue. And finally, the last point that I want to look at, the last main point, is euphemisms and abbreviations. Euphemisms and abbreviations. These are, especially when we think about euphemisms, some of you may be surprised to hear what I'm about to say. But a euphemism, by definition, is a mild or indirect word or expression substituted for one considered to be too harsh. That's the dictionary definition. A euphemism, a mild or indirect word or expression that is substituted for one considered to be too harsh. We slam our finger with a hammer. And we want to curse. It hurts. But we know that we can't curse. We can't use certain words, and so we substitute the word that we want to say with another word that sounds very much like it. What are some examples? And I want to let you know that I don't even like to say these words in a sermon. And I debated on whether or not I even wanted to say some of these words. But I want you to understand what a euphemism is. The word darn. You look that up in the dictionary. The first definition is it means to mend something. You darn a pair of socks. You're mending a pair of socks. But you know, if you look down a little bit further in the definitions, it will say a euphemism for, and you know the word that it stands for. It's a euphemism. It's a word that, you know, it starts with the same letter, and it sort of sounds like the word that you really wanted to say, but you know you can't say that, and so you substitute a word that, again, society, it's not as harsh. But the same thought is there in our minds. And really, whether or not we substitute one word for another, the thought is still there and we're still cursing. We're just using a different word that society tells us, you know, isn't quite as bad. It's not as harsh. The word shoot. You know, there's nothing wrong with the word shoot if you're talking about shooting a gun. Or, you know, you shoot a takedown in a wrestling match. Whatever it may, you know, there's nothing wrong with that word, but it's also a euphemism. Look it up in the dictionary. To say the word shoot as an exclamation, it's a substitution for a curse word. What about gosh? You know, that's a word that we hear all the time. And I appreciate the fact that people don't want to say God in that way. But gosh is just a euphemism for another type of word. I mean, you know, where, you know, G-O, it even starts out the same way, okay? It's obvious that you're thinking God when you say it. And my all-time least favorite euphemism is the word, and I don't even like saying it, it's freaking, okay? Now, someone might say, this movie is freaking me out. And that wouldn't be a euphemism. They mean that movie is making them uncomfortable. However, if you use that word as an adjective, it becomes a euphemism. Okay? And we all know what it stands for. What's the difference? You're still cursing. You're still having that same type of thought. You've just chosen a word that by accepted standards maybe isn't considered as harsh by some. There are many other words and phrases that we could add to the list, but as I said, I am uncomfortable even saying them in the pulpit, so we're not going to go through an exhaustive list of euphemisms. But I think you understand what they are. And we need to be very careful about what we say. And understand that there are those of us, and myself, I am one of them, who I am offended by euphemisms. You might say, well, people don't care if we use a euphemism, and to them it doesn't matter. Well, know that there are some, myself included, who, and I even sometimes use them, and I chastise myself for that. We need to be very careful about the words we choose. And finally, abbreviations. What do I mean by that? Well, in our technological society in which we live today, where we have the internet, where we have cell phones, where people can text, a lot of times letters are, or abbreviations are used rather than typing out a phrase. And some of them are harmless and funny. You think about, you know, the most common is LOL, which means laugh out loud. You think about, there's one ROFL, rolling on the floor laughing, okay? One funny story about myself, I used to, you know, play a lot of video games online, and after a game, someone would put GG. And I thought that meant good. like they were laughing at me because I was horrible at the game or something, but it meant good game. Good. So sometimes we don't know what those abbreviations mean, and that can cause a problem as well. Sometimes, though, these abbreviations are abbreviations for curse words. OMG stands for Oh My God. What's the difference of writing OMG and writing Oh My God to something? You're still profaning the name of God. The thought is there when the person reads OMG. They are thinking, Oh My God. And so they're using God's name in a vain way. You haven't said it. You haven't even actually written out God's name, but those letters, OMG, make a person think of God's name in a vain or irreverent way. And you know, there are many abbreviations that we could put on there, and I'm not going to, and I'm sure I don't know 1% of them because I don't text, but there are abbreviations that stand for phrases that have curse words in them. As Christians, we ought not to be typing those things. Again, to type them, when somebody reads it, they fill in the blanks, don't they? And they, in their mind, are using a curse word and thinking a curse word when we type it in. Typing an abbreviation for a word, then, is just as bad as saying it out loud or typing it. We need to be very careful about that. Because as the song pointed out, as James has pointed out in James chapter 3, the tongue, the words we use, can cause untold damage to our influence as a child of God. You take a Christian who uses foul language, disgusting language, offensive language, and I'll show you a Christian who has absolutely no influence or good influence among those who are outside the church. The title of this lesson was Adult Language. That's a phrase that you often see maybe when you're looking at the rating of a movie or a television show, and they'll tell you, you know, this show has violence in it, and this show has sexuality, and this show has adult language, okay? And what they mean is profanity is spoken in the show. Let me suggest to you that profanity is not adult language. Profanity is the language of a person who has no control and is unable to express themselves in a correct manner. Adult language is described in passages such as Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where it said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That is adult language. That is the type of language that we need to strive to develop in our lives. Not the type of language that offends other people, that talks about things that Christians ought not to be talking about in public anyway. Not language that causes us to use God's name in some irreverent way where we're showing disrespect to Him. And certainly not online or on our cell phones where we're typing in things that stand for words that Christians ought not to use. To sum up what James wrote in James in chapter 3, in verse 10, he said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Let's watch what we say, and let's try to talk and behave as Christians ought to. We know what the words are. We know what we have to be careful about. Let's talk and behave like Christians. First of all, if you're already a Christian and maybe you've not, maybe your speech has not been the speech of a Christian, maybe you've ruined your influence through the way that you talk, or maybe there's some other sin in your life that's causing you to doubt your salvation. You're not sure that if you died today, whether you would be saved or lost. Whatever it might be, speech or whatever, repent of that and ask God for His forgiveness and He will forgive you. That's if you're already a Christian. But if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel and become a child of God, there's something else required of you. Based upon your faith in Jesus, then repent of your sins. Change your mind and make the decision within your mind that you understand that your sin hurts God. And you don't want to hurt God, and so therefore you're going to do everything in your power to remove sin from your life. That's repentance. And you'll confess the name of Jesus, that you believe Him to be the Son of God, and then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. At that point, every sin that you've ever committed will be forgiven you, and God will remember them no more. So whether you need to respond to the invitation for the first time in becoming a child of God, or maybe you need to respond to get yourself back into a right relationship with God? Are you resolved? We're about to sing the song, I Am Resolved. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing.